The Indian Mojo Show!
Welcome, backers and trackers, to episode 43 of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show. We're ready to kickstart our way into our most recent episode. However, I gotta warn you guys, it's gonna be not as great of a show this week because we are missing our third wheel, Jack.
No, I'm here.
We are missing our third wheel, Jack.
Yeah. I mean, would that make this show just the Jack and Mojo Show?
The Jacked Up Mojo Show?
The Jacked Up Mojo Show?
It would, but we don't want to make Daniel feel like he's not welcome or that we don't love him, because the last time he was on the show, it took me like 4 dozen roses and 6 months to convince him that he was special and important, and just because everybody happened to like the show that he wasn't on the most did not mean that they didn't like him.
Right. And he's still a superstar.
I warned him that if he's going to run off and ditch us, these types of things might happen. So, you know.
And
Daniel,
deal with it. For those of you that don't know, Daniel is off cavorting with people more important than us that are affiliated with the video game industry.
Yes. He is in New York City.
Partying it up with the elite. Quite.
Yes. Maybe he'll see Harold Goldberg. Apparently he's at an event that's got something to do with him. Or maybe it's the New York Games Critic Circle people. Anyway, we miss you, Daniel, but take your time. No rush.
And he's wearing the Indian Mojo Show shirts, right?
Absolutely. He better be.
Yeah.
Because we had the tuxedo version made just so that he could wear that.
And it's indescribably classy.
Is there any such thing as a non-classy tuxedo t-shirt?
I can't say that I know of one.
See, that's pretty much how I feel about it. But don't despair, because we do have a third person coming up with us later in the show. We're going to talk to a guy that's been through the Kickstarter process and has been successful with Kickstarter and has another project going, and he's got some very insightful information that I think a lot of our people will like to hear regarding how Kickstarter works. And he's got a very funny movie that he made that needs our support.
That's right. We have Gabriel Diani with The Selling coming on the show, and he's seeking to get a theatrical release for his film at select theaters. So stick around for our chat with Gabe. And in the meantime, we're going to be talking about some video games, right, Jeremy?
Video games, because that's what we do when we do what we do best. So let's talk about video games. Jack!
Those are still a thing, right?
I believe that since President Obama didn't sign the United Nations Treaty on the 27th, that yes, we can still play video games.
Excellent.
Or something. I'm not sure. He's either really at fault or not at fault. I'm still not sure which one it is. But somebody screwed up somewhere along the line, but the important thing is we can still play games.
Well, I don't really follow politics, but I'll trust you.
I don't follow politics either. That's just what I've learned. People in politics are either right or they're wrong. No matter what. So, you learn. I think that's, you know, pretty obvious for most people. But with politics, you're either really, really right or you're really, really wrong.
And everyone except you is really wrong, right?
No. Not at all. But that's how most people feel. I don't really know what I follow in politics. I honestly don't have an opinion. I'm one of those rare people or strange people that can see things from both sides, and I can be the type of person that will... Well, I shouldn't get into it. But anyway, I don't support just one party. I look at different...
Dramatic gasp.
I look at different policies and different topics and make a decision based on that.
Sounds reasonable and well thought out.
But it's not.
Really doesn't belong in politics.
Correct. All right.
Good on.
Politics.
Okay.
Games.
Video games.
Video games. Have you been playing any video games?
I have been playing video games, Jeremy.
They're
Do you want to know what games I've been playing?
I bet you I could guess.
Oh, well,
Earth Defense Force, League of Legends, and Scooby-Doo.
Well, League of Legends would be right, because I almost constantly play that game. It's kind of ridiculous. However, the other two games I've been playing have been Jade Empire and a recent indie title called Slender. And if you don't mind, Jeremy, I'm going to talk a little bit about both those games and why they're interesting and worth some people's time.
Okay.
So first I'm going to talk about Slender, Jeremy, and if I'm right, you haven't heard about this game at all?
I've heard slim to none about Slender.
Oh! Okay, well, basically Slender is a horror game. And I'm not going to say survival horror, because you don't survive Slender.
Spoilers!
As I've heard, there's no way to actually finish the game and survive.
So it's like a Bethesda game on PlayStation 3.
Yeah. And basically, you begin the game and you're in the middle of this woods that's fenced in. And you are tasked with retrieving 8 pieces of paper that are scattered throughout the woods on different landmarks or monuments. And these things are like a really big tree, a car in the middle of the woods, a shower house kind of building, things like that.
Okay.
And the catch is that the Slender Man is stalking you. And for those of you that don't know, basically the Slender Man is a humanoid monster that is roughly twice the size of a human being in height.
Well, that's not slender at all.
But, Jeremy, you didn't let me finish, is incredibly slender and has very thin arms and legs, almost spider-like.
So, and Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln, but without a face.
Or
a beard, or a stovepipe hat, and if he abducted children.
What about vampire children?
Would Abraham Lincoln really abduct children, even if they were vampire children?
I don't know. Fortunately for him, he never quite came into that situation. But I digress. I've talked enough about Abraham Lincoln.
And so basically, the entire game, you're being stalked by this creature. And the goal is to not get caught by it. And if you look at it for too long, it catches you and you die. And so, really, it's a game built around suspense and waiting for something to happen. Because most of the game, the vast majority of the game, you are simply walking through the woods with a flashlight and looking for these pieces of paper. And you're in the woods, and it's nighttime, and there's fog all around that's constantly kind of moving around.
What would a non-vast majority be? I say that all the time, too, and I was just thinking, that's kind of a strange thing to say, isn't it?
A slim minority?
Well, then why would you need to say slim? Why not just say majority? Like, I do it all the time. I always, and I like really, you know, put the emphasis on it. The vast majority of gamers.
Well, I think you want to make it seem really big. It's just kind of to emphasize majority.
I'm just, yeah, it's just some, it has nothing to do with Slender. It just caught my ear and I was thinking, that's strange. Anyway.
Anyway, so this creature stalks you as you go through the woods. And you are able to sprint, but it's like if you were to lightly jog is roughly the speed increase of running in Slender. And every time you pick up a document, the intensity of the game amps up. And it actually amps up 7 times, each time you get one of the documents. But the catch is, if you take too long, it will amp up for you. Also, as you progress through the game, the longer you have your flashlight on, the weaker the battery gets, so the light dims and gets smaller and smaller.
So you're playing Alan Wake?
Kinda.
Okay. It's a good game.
And Slender, basically, I don't know if you've ever seen The Shining, Jeremy?
No, but I'm going to watch The Selling.
Well, a lot of this, The Shining is just building things up, and if you watch it, it's a lot of it is just waiting for something to happen. And that's really the closest thing I can compare Slender to, because there's not really very many video game equivalents.
Okay.
You can't fight anything. It's just you walking through the woods trying not to die.
So where is this Slender? Is it on Xbox Live, PlayStation Network?
It's on PC. It's free to download from the game website.
Okay.
And yeah, I recommend people check it out.
Did you talk about this game when you had your moment in the sun on the Game Informer online radio, or on the Game Informer show?
No, because we were only talking about
handheld games.
Handheld games, yeah.
That was a good show, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And to that jackass in the comment section, screw you, buddy. Sorry, couldn't help it.
Thank you for leaping to my defense, Jeremy.
Not just your defense. Defensive interns everywhere.
That's true. We are undervalued in society. Anyway, the other game I wanted to talk about, Jade Empire, is
I've heard of that game. Yeah. What? I've heard of that game.
Yeah. It's a really... I went into it not expecting much, even though it is a BioWare game, and it received pretty great reviews across the board. It's just not one I've ever gotten around to playing. And it's the game that BioWare made directly after Knights of the Old Republic, which is one of my favorite games of all time. And I have to say, I think the combat is better than Knights of the Old Republic.
Blasphemous!
I'm going to say it. It's more action-oriented and timing-based, and I enjoy that a lot more than invisible die-rolling that goes on behind the scenes in
I haven't played either one, but I have played The Old Republic, and that was fun combat.
Oh, really?
How long did you play the whole game, Jade Empire?
I've not played the whole Jade Empire game.
Okay.
But I am enjoying the combat, and it's really refreshing take from what I would expect from a BioWare game.
That's a strictly PC game as well, right?
I believe it also came out on Xbox.
Oh, okay.
But
you're playing it on PC.
Right.
Okay. Well, those are all fun games, sounds like.
Yeah.
Fun
games for a fun guy.
You're a pretty fun guy. Like the mushrooms.
Better get that checked out next time at the doctor.
I know, right? All right, so we're bombing here, Jack. We need you, Daniel. I don't know. We need somebody to make fun of. Without somebody here to continuously say things that I can contradict, then I don't know what to do. Alright. So, anything else that you've been playing?
Not really. What have you been playing?
Well, I haven't been playing a whole lot. I think I mentioned last week that I finished up Final Fantasy 13 2.
Yep.
I started playing Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, although I kept calling it the Crystal Guardian on Twitter, but it's not. It's the Guardian of Light. It's pretty fun. I played a little bit more of the Game of Thrones game.
And how are you liking that?
It still sucks.
Are you just forcing your way through it for the story?
I haven't gotten very far, but yeah, I started playing it on like the hardest difficulty, and I decided just to turn it on easy and get through it. But I only started doing that a little like earlier today.
You know that Game Informer did a show that talked about all the important plot details that are revealed in the game, right?
No, I did not know that.
Well, they did.
So why would I do that why would I know about that if I'm playing the game? Are you suggesting I should just watch that and not play the game, Jack?
Well, you said it really sucked, and you weren't enjoying it.
Yeah, but I'm not a quitter. Can you send me that link?
Sure, in case you want to see what a quitter looks like.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you just want an example.
Yeah, I don't honestly know that I'm going to be able to finish it. It's pretty brutal. It really is.
Okay.
I've been playing Jetpack Joyride, which is always a good fallback.
Is it a good ride?
It's joyful. You got to have the golden choppa. That's pretty awesome. But my stinking kid, I didn't know that he had gotten a hold of it, and he spent all my coins that I worked so hard for.
Oh, no.
I know, that kind of made me mad. I guess I should have put a password protection thing on my iPad. But
a child lock?
Yeah, something like that. But, oh well, such is life. I haven't been playing a whole lot of games. I've been watching lots of YouTube videos for no real apparent reason. And I've been cleaning out my garage, and that's pretty much it. How about
Sounds
you?
Thrilling.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about Extra Life before we
sidetrack. Oh, yeah, that'd be fantastic.
We have some awesome things to announce. First of all, and I'm not going to steal all the thunder, so we'll take turns, we have over 50 teammates, and we've raised quite a bit of money, I think. Jack, how much have we raised?
We have raised over $2,000. Great job, guys. The exact total is $2,042.39.
Which is just a smidgen shy of what we raised all of last year. So some people have suggested that we raise our goal, and I'm going to leave that entirely up to Jack.
I think that we probably will end up raising our goal.
Well, let's get closer to the event, I think.
Right. The Game Informer, a few of the Game Informer staff and I are going to be streaming during the event, so that will be pretty fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I think everybody's going to be streaming at some point. 24 hours is a long time to go without going to the bathroom.
No, Jeremy, I meant online.
Yeah, so did I. Live
I don't think that's how the internet works.
Oh, really? Somebody owes me $20.
Yeah, I think your plumber cheated you, Jeremy.
I know, right? Okay. Oh, seriously now. Let's be serial. Dustin, we have a guy named Dustin who's not a new GIOer, but he signed up to the team not long ago. And he started a thread in the team GIO forum just trying to get people to talk about different games and whatnot that they're going to play. And I know it's hard for people to commit to any one thing right now, but I would ask if people want to just kind of use that thread that he started as a way of organizing it and kind of making it central, please do so, because it would be good to have one location where people can do that. So good job. Good idea, Dustin.
Indeed.
And a lot of people have been asking me what my plans are, and my plans are to probably do a little bit here and there. In all honesty, if it's anything like last year, I'm not going to play hardly any games because I'll be too busy answering. I'll be involved with kind of, you know, rallying the team and being a cheerleader and going here and there and playing just for little bits with other people. But
do you
a lot
think you
of
got picked up
a couple of them. Jack, you're not getting out of it this year either. You're going to be the head cheerleader. But you know, last year a lot of people had events questions right on that day, and I spent a lot of time answering those questions. So that's why one reason I'm encouraging people to get signed up early this year and ask questions if you have them now so that we can get them straightened out. Not that I have a problem answering them on game day, but, you know, I do want to spend time playing games with the different community members as well.
Right.
We also got a mention from the official Extra Life Twitter account, which was really cool, so that's awesome, guys.
Yeah, yes.
You know, one thing I noticed, even though we're the highest raising team, there's several people who have individuals have donated or raised a lot more than us. So that's just something to think about. That's pretty cool. I'd imagine those people, you know, obviously they didn't raise it all themselves or donate it all to themselves. They just haven't joined a team. So that's something to consider. You know, we are in first place right now, but any one of those 10 or 11 people, actually there's only one that's raised more than us as an individual, but as we get closer, that will change. But if that one guy was to join a team, that team would automatically have more than us. So we need to keep at it. We gotta get over it.
Yeah.
And kudos to that dude that's raised $3,000 all by himself. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. That's crazy. Oh man. I just totally blanked on what I was going to say.
It
was something about Extra Life, and it was awesome. And
I think we should put a challenge out there, Jack.
What?
Let's put a challenge out there. Let's do this. If we meet our current goal by August 31st, you and I will do a rendition of Call Me Maybe. And Daniel. We'll do our own version of it. We'll make a video of it, and we'll put it out there for everybody to see.
Okay. I'm down.
You think?
I'm down to clown.
Yeah, I'll do that. Or if you guys have other suggestions, please let us know. But I'm not afraid to humiliate myself in the name of Extra Life and to raise money for the children.
Me neither.
So, we're doing... Since Daniel's not here to object, we're going to include him.
Suck it, Daniel. Anyway.
We should definitely do something like that. I think it would be fun. It would be lasting. It would be...
fantastical.
Yeah. Which is a word, by the way.
It is a word, and screw everyone that says it's not. Let's see. Oh, also, just kind of wanted to say that big thanks to the Houston Brony Group.
HBG in the house!
For joining Team GIO. I believe that's where our last several members have come from. So thanks, guys, and thanks for joining us in this cause to help sick kids.
Yes, that's very cool. And I know that Noob Tubinator has been talking a little bit with those guys. I'm not sure if they got something... plan to help recruit more people, but it seems to me there's something in the works there, so that's awesome. Also, I know that Noob has updated the prize list, so if you have anything that you want to donate to the prize list, get a hold of them and have them put it on there. And if you just want to see what prizes are going to be given away, then go check it out. So far, there's lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, people should definitely go and check it out, because I believe that there should be over, like, 10 prizes that people can enter to win by joining and participating in Team GIO.
Yeah, you got to have a degree in physio, sociological, algebra, geometry to understand how it works, but Noob will take care of that. So if you want to know how to enter, here's what I tell people. If you want chances to win, all you got to do is participate. If you do that, then you'll have chances.
Yep, join the team, raise a little bit of money, and you could win some pretty sweet prizes that include full games, books, television series.
Autographed Indian Mojo toast.
What?
Yeah, remember that that piece of bread I sent you and I told you to take a bite out of it and send it back? That's our autographed Indian Mojo show toast. Like kindergarten style. Remember in kindergarten?
Why aren't we sending them a biscuit? Jeremy.
Because biscuits crumble in the mail. That's a good idea.
It's like our signature food.
Fine, if you're the one that has the toast, send it back, and we're going to try a biscuit. But we're going to have to schlack the biscuit before we mail it, so whatever bite you take is going to be nasty tasting.
Well, maybe I'll take the first bite.
Okay. Anyway, we will have some sort of Indian Mojo prizes to give away at some point. And I talked to Brian and told him what I'm willing to donate, and if anybody else has anything that they could, please get a hold of him as well.
Excellent.
I'm multitasking, if you can't tell. That's why I'm distracted, so I better just stop doing that. It's not working out so well. Stupid iPad cover. All right. So yeah, great job so far, Team GIO. We are less than 60 days away from the event. So wait.
Huh?
Less than 90 days from the event.
There we go.
So time to really crack at it, get busy, and make sure that we stay number one. And now that Extra Life is getting more involved with their Twitter account and social media, this is why I, you know, kept saying that it's so important that we get into first place, because now we're going to be recognized by them, and they're going to be mentioning us in their tweets, which, if there's people out there that just want to join a team or they don't know, it's going to make a big difference. So it's very important that we got there, and I'm very proud of everybody that made that happen.
Yep, got to recognize.
Absolutely. All right. So, yay, Team GIO, and I better shut up about it or else I'll talk about it all week.
So, Jeremy, have you heard of this new game called Hawken?
Hawken? That's the Pawn Stars simulator, right?
No.
Didn't I make that joke last week?
Maybe. It's hard to tell. Sometimes your jokes blur together.
That's true. Okay, I have not heard of it. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, essentially, it's this online mech combat game. And you build your own battle mech, and
like
you fight against other people's.
Game?
Like a mech warrior kind of game.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's very fast paced, and it plays really well, and it's won several awards from, you know, best of E3 awards from different, sources, and it looks fantastic, and I'm super excited to play. I signed up for the beta, and should be hearing something back about that sometime soon. But it looks really intriguing, and it looks fantastic.
Awesome. And it's called Hawken, H-A-W-K-E-N?
Yep.
So how long is the beta going to last?
Probably until it launches on December 12th.
Okay. Wow, so that'll be a pretty decent amount of time.
Yeah, I don't think it's started quite yet, but it should start sometime soon.
Did you happen to play the Little Big Planet karting beta?
I have not.
That was pretty fun. I didn't play it much. I played a little bit, but it was a good time.
Awesome sauce.
So beyond, besides talking, anything else on your radar? Your game-dar, as I like to say?
On my game-dar? Well, Dishonored.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that, even though I refuse to get excited about it because it's a Bethesda game, even though they're just publishing it. But I can't help it.
What's wrong with Bethesda?
Well, I buy most of my games on PlayStation 3, and there's just... I'm just irritated that most of the time they release games on that platform, they're inferior, and they don't get fixed for a long time, and I haven't been able to finish them because of glitches and bugs, because I like to do everything and look behind every corner so my save files get too big, which isn't my problem. That's something that, if they're going to have those type of games, they should be able to prepare for it.
You should play it on 360, Jeremy.
Well,
we don't have those problems over there.
True. That's not the point.
It's the principle of the thing, right?
Play it on PC. Well, I was going to rebuy Skyrim on PC, but now that Dawnguard may not even be coming out on it, then it's like,
You have the worst luck with things you buy.
I don't have the worst luck. I just buy lots of things. That's the way it goes. Anyway, no, I'm actually really excited about Dishonored. I do have reservations, honestly, because of the Bethesda name, but it's not going to stop me from buying it.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about Dishonored. I'm also really excited about XCOM UFO Defense, or XCOM Enemy Unknown, sorry. And also Bioshock Infinite, but everyone's excited for Bioshock Infinite, so.
How could you not be?
I don't know. Must be like a communist Nazi or something.
There's a few people that I've came across that don't really like Bioshock. Like Chris McVicka doesn't like Bioshock, which is just crazy.
Well, that's fine.
Whatever. Teach their own. As we often say here on the Indian Mojo Show, everybody is entitled to their own wrong opinion.
Exactly. We should get that on our next t-shirts.
That's right, right next to the butter my biscuits. So,
what about you, Jeremy? I've been talking about my own Gamedar. What's on your Gamedar?
Oh, definitely games I'm looking forward to that are coming up are the Ratchet & Clank Collection.
Yep.
Which releases at the end of August. Guild Wars 2, which hopefully I'll find some friendly GIOers to play with. Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance game came out today, but for some reason it's not going to come to my house till tomorrow, which is strange. Amazon usually has same-day delivery, so I'm not sure how that happened. But anyway, it's not like I have time to play it at the moment. But I'm looking forward to it. Let's see. There was another game coming out, and I can't remember exactly which one. Oh, Borderlands 2 I'm kind of excited about. A couple of Game Informer buddies that are looking to play that game, so I'll definitely pick it up and play with those guys. And anybody else that wants to, obviously. I would say that's what's on my game dog for the next 45 days.
Okay.
Yeah, good stuff. Darksiders 2, obviously, looking forward to that.
And of course, you're going to play Splendor as soon as we finish. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Downloading it as we speak.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm lying. I feel bad for lying. I shouldn't lie. Did you ever play The Old Republic? I thought you did.
I actually haven't yet.
But you bought it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just haven't really, nobody's really urged me to play it, and so it's just kind of been in the back of my head as something I should play.
Well, when that goes free to play, I might finish my character that I have started, because I do want to see that, at least that story end.
Okay.
I like the game. I just honestly thought that it took up too much time and was pretty expensive for what you got. So I'll be curious to go back, 6 months later, 8 months later, and with less features. They've added supposedly a lot of features in the last 8 months through upgrades and updates. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious how restrictive the free-to-play model is going to be. Because it's not like a traditional freemium game. There's going to be a free-to-play model and a paid model. And so it's not like everybody has the same free model and you can buy better gear or, whatever. So I'm curious how that's going to work.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
That we will.
But they've definitely invested too much money into that project to just kind of let it die.
Well, I was reading on Game Informer that they said as long as they have 500,000 subscribers, they'll break even. But yeah, I don't know how long they need those subscribers for.
Right. Coming up next, we talk with Gabe Diani on about his project, The Selling, and the whole Kickstarter process and how that works. And it's a pretty good time. So, take a listen. Today we have Gabe Diani on with us. Gabe is the producer, writer, and lead actor in The Selling. Am I right, Gabe?
That's correct. Hi, guys.
Hello.
And for those of you that don't know, The Selling is a feature-length film that is seeking to get a theatrical release via Kickstarter, and we are, most gamers are now familiar with Kickstarter due to the success of many recent indie games that have received major backing from the website, and we are talking with Gabe to get a little bit of insight how that process works, and for him to tell us a little bit about his project.
Fantastic. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're very, very grateful that you could spend some time with us today, Gabe. That's really an honor to have you. So tell us just a little bit about your movie, first and foremost. It looks extremely funny. I really look forward to watching it, and I'm obviously rooting for you to get to your Kickstarter goal so that you can have a theatrical release. But just, Why don't you tell us a little bit about the movie itself, and then we'll ask you more about the process of making the movie and, of course, Kickstarter.
Fantastic. I'd love to. The movie is called The Selling, as you have already said, and it's a comedy about a real estate agent who is trying to sell a haunted house. It's very much in the vein of the movies I grew up with, like Ghostbusters, you know, that sort of blend of comedy and horror, and it's also been compared with some classic comedy horrors like Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein and Don Knotts Ghost and Mr. Chicken, that sort of thing. And it's really just it's a fun comedy that blends humor and scares.
And that's excellent, because when I saw the intro video on your Kickstarter page, I immediately thought of Ghostbusters. Actually, it kind of looks like if the Ghostbusters tried to sell a haunted house, this is kind of what you'd get. Even your Kickstarter video is pretty entertaining.
Well, thank you. That's one of the things that we believe about Kickstarter, is that if you're going to do it, you have to have a good video that that's entertaining in and of itself. Especially if you're doing a movie. If you're raising funds for a movie, or in our case for a theatrical release, you need to kind of show people that you do have a little bit of flair, and you do know how to sort of write a script, even if it is for a 3-minute fundraising video. So that was one of the things we really wanted to focus on, because there are a lot of really great projects that I love and that look interesting, but a lot of times it's just people sort of just sitting and talking into a camera, and sometimes that's enough, but we wanted to, especially since we aren't big name actors or anything, we wanted to do something that was hopefully a little bit entertaining.
Yeah,
it was very entertaining. I definitely caught my attention.
Good. Well, we are lucky that the House on Haunted Hill is in the public domain. We are able to use Vincent Price's disembodied head to talk about a movie.
Well, some of the most talented people in the world have gotten by on luck, so you take the luck you can get.
Exactly.
So how did you decide that Kickstarter was the way you wanted to go with getting this project out there?
Well, we had done another Kickstarter, it's over a year ago now that we did one for Adventures of Huckleberry Finn Robotic Edition. And that was kind of a joke that we did. Someone last year, there was a bit of a hoopla about someone who was taking Twain's Huckleberry Finn and replacing the N-word with slave in order to try to make it more palatable to modern audiences. And while we felt that effort was the person had their heart in the right place, we felt that censoring something in order to stop it from being censored is a little silly. So we decided to take it one step further and replace the N-word with robot and, as a joke to satirize attempts to censor the book. And so we made a fun little satirical video where, we're very seriously talking about how we thought this was a good idea to remove race altogether from the book so that we have most of Twain's themes, except all that stuff about racism that he wanted to say. And so we put it up, and it was really sort of low stakes. It was just, we made a video that we thought was funny and that we were proud of, and it was just sort of a way to, get our name out there, and we thought, well, maybe a couple of people will want the book, and maybe we'll make our goal, and we'll make a little soft cover thing on Lulu. And so we posted it, and it kind of went viral, and we made our initial goal in the first 24 hours of our 30-day campaign, and everything after that was just icing on the cake. The downside was we actually had to make the book. We originally asked for $6,000, and we made around 30, and wow. Minus sort of the percentages that Kickstarter and Amazon take, and so we felt a responsibility to make something that was really nice and a quality item and something that was just not a joke or something made on a vanity press. So we made our own our LLC, and we put together we got a design designer and copy editor and we hired my writing partner and my someday wife are the same person as a divine, and her mom is an artist, and we got her to redo all of the original illustrations to replace anyone of color with a robot. And we made a really, I'm proud to say it's a really beautiful hardback book. It's available on Amazon. It's available on our website, DeoniDivine.com. And we're really proud of it. But so we had that going into this, which was really low stakes because, it, you know, if we didn't make it, it was just, it just meant we didn't have to do the work of actually making the book. But this this project is has been a project that's been about 6 years in the making since you know, let's write and make a movie to now when it's finally getting out there into the world. And so, you know, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and money, and savings, and all that's wrapped up in this. And so it means a bit more to us. So we're a bit more stressed about making our goal, but we've been doing pretty well so far, and are very you know, gratified and pleased that people have been responding positively to the campaign. But what we're doing is, you know, without big names or without like a buzz from, you know, Sundance or South by Southwest or one of the, you know, really big market festivals, it's hard to really get any traction or to get anyone on the business side interested in a theatrical release for your movie. So, yes. So it's hard to sort of get out there. And we'd sort of resolved ourselves to the fact, well, you know, we'll try to sell it on distribution on a you know, video on demand and DVD, and we'll shoot for that. But we've been taking it around. We've been to about 27 festivals, and we've met a lot of really great people, and all these audience members really just respond so positively to it and say, you know, I wish Hollywood made movies like this. I wish there were movies like this in the theater. And, you know, I was at the Northwest Ohio Independent Film Festival a couple weeks ago, and this 10-year-old boy came up to me with this big smile on his face, and he said, "This is the funniest movie I've ever seen." And, you know, it just, we thought, well, why not? Why don't we try for a limited theatrical release where we'll rent a couple of theaters, and, you know, we'll put the movie in it. And, you know, and then on Kickstarter with the rewards process, it's also an opportunity for us to basically kind of give the opportunity to pre-sell the DVDs or a digital download of the movie, and you know, give people an opportunity to see it and, you know, get the word out there, because without a big studio publicity budget that you know, puts the movie right in your face and you can't get away from it, and, you know, everyone goes to see it the opening weekend and it makes all of its money back, and even if it's good or not, it's really hard to get the word out there. And Kickstarter is really a great place to sort of try out your ideas and to sort of test them on the market to see if people are interested in them. And our hope is that people look at the fundraising video, and hopefully they'll think it's funny, and the trailer, it follows it immediately, so they'll see a bit of what the movie's like. And, you know, if they like the trailer and they want to see this movie, then, you know, hopefully they'll donate and they get something from it. They can get a ticket to one of our screenings. They can get a poster. They can get a DVD. They can, you know, they can get a download for their phone for as cheap as $5 or, you know, $15 for, you know, HD version for their TV. So, you know, hopefully people will like the movie as much as all the people at the festivals have told us, and they'll want to see it.
Yeah. So I hope so too. I'm really rooting for you guys. Can you kind of walk us through the process of like what it takes to make a Kickstarter? Because I'm pretty sure nobody who's going to listen to this knows exactly. Things for most people just kind of show up on Kickstarter, and right. Most people don't actually go out and try and do a Kickstarter. So how does that work?
That's a great question, because we see a lot of Kickstarters that go up, and sometimes for people that we know, it's like, oh, I wish they had talked to us before they had done their Kickstarter, because you know, there were some tips we maybe could have given them. There's a place for, if you have an idea for something creative, like, you know, a movie, a book, an art show, or, you know, something to do, you know, an album, you can basically take your idea, and you don't have the money to make anything, but you can take your idea and you can put it on Kickstarter, and it's a way of saying to people, hey, here's this thing I want to do. Do you want to get on board? Would you be interested in this thing? Say you want to, make an album. You say, hey, here's what I want to do, and this is what you get if you give a certain amount of money. They have incentive levels, so if you give a dollar, you might get, for a dollar on our current one, you can get an invitation to any of the after parties, to any of the screenings, and that'll get an exclusive Kickstarter movie commentary. So you'll get an audio file that you can play along with the movie that won't be available on the DVD or anywhere else. At different levels, you can get different things. And you have to make a really good fundraising video because that tells people who you are and what your project is and what you're going to do with the money. That's kind of it.
And you mentioned that Kickstarter gets some of Kickstarter and Amazon get some of the money if you're successful. How does that work financially?
Yeah. Well, with Kickstarter, if you don't reach your goal, you don't get any of the money. No one's credit card is charged until after the goal has been met and the time has passed the campaign. So if you do meet your goal, then Kickstarter and Amazon, the payments go through Amazon Payments. So they each take a percentage, and I think it equals out to about 10%.
Between the two of them?
Between the two of them, yeah. So
that's
I don't
not
remember.
Bad.
No, it's not bad at all. And they're providing this platform that has really opened up the idea of patronage and being a patron of the arts that we haven't really seen in a while. I mean, you can always like give to a theater, or you can give to some local community thing, but there haven't really been many forms to, be a patron for a specific artist, or, it's always there's more, what do you call them, gatekeepers that sort of keep you from people. But so this really levels the playing field. And if you have a really great idea and you present it in a really sort of professional way that lets people know that you're not going to waste their money, then you can do it, and it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be an artist.
So yeah. It's kind of an all or nothing deal then. If you don't reach your goal, then you don't get any of the money.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a couple like Indiegogo. You get to keep it no matter what you make, but they take a larger percentage.
Okay.
And also, if you have a project that you raise $10 for, but then you still need $1,000 to make it, you're going to be out all that money because you're obligated to fulfill all of the incentives that you give to
sure.
people. So the benefit of not being able to do it if you don't make your money is that no one's money is wasted.
Yeah.
Enough to go into in order to try to fulfill your obligations to your patrons.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good safe venue for people to, if they do want to get behind something and support it, but not feel like they're being, cheated or whatnot if maybe they don't end up getting for what they thought they pledged for. I think it's a pretty neat format how there's incentives and honestly, sometimes, like in your guys' case, if you pledge $25, you get a lot of stuff for $25. Way more than what all that stuff would retail for, or way less than what all that stuff would retail for.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that if you have any listeners out there who are thinking of doing their own Kickstarter, the incentive levels are really, really important because you want to, first of all, make people feel like that in exchange for helping you out, they're getting, more than they could get if they just until, it was gone and, bought it on Amazon or whatever. And it also has to feel equitable, because I've seen Kickstarter campaigns that really struggle because they, they're making they're making a movie, and you know, for $200 you get a ticket to go see the movie, and it's like, well, you know, how about you give them something close to what it would retail for? So I mean, I understand that you know, it's expensive to make things, and it's expensive to fulfill things. Like, one of the things you, when you're budgeting, you have to take into account all the shipping, all the manufacturing costs that it's going to actually take to fulfill these things, and that's something that you need to budget in from the beginning, or else you can get into some trouble there. So you have to be careful in that respect. But yeah, you know, for $25, you get a DVD and you get a digital copy, you get download of the movie, and you get the exclusive Kickstarter commentary. And you know, I'm doing the hard sell here, but you know.
No, it's a great deal.
Check
it out.
Yeah.
Well, we hope so. We hope people think so. We're excited about it, and we hope other people are.
So Gabe, your movie's coming out regardless. So this Kickstarter is strictly for the theatrical release. If for some reason that doesn't happen, where can people find your movie?
Good question. We're still playing a couple of festivals coming up. There's a, you guys are, or one of you is in, Minnesota, right?
Right. Yeah. That'd be me.
There's a company called Altsy that's, creating these sort of alternate or Altsy, venues, to show movies in. And, in August, they're going to be showing, The Selling in a couple of alternative venues. I don't know what they are yet, but I think, they could be restaurants or bars or, you know, cool, hip little places. So it's going to be playing in August, there in Minneapolis.
Cool.
And, it's going to be coming out, digitally on, VOD on, August 21st. So if you prefer to buy something through, you know, through a vendor like Amazon, or, you know, rent it through Amazon or iTunes, it'll be coming out on all of those things there. One of the benefits of having a theatrical release is that it doesn't, for those platforms, it doesn't look like a, what do you call it, like a direct-to-VOD release or a direct-to-video release. So you'll get a better placement for the trailer on those platforms. So that, you know, it's all about getting eyeballs on it. You know, you guys know what it's like. You're flipping through Netflix. You're flipping through iTunes. You're trying to find something to watch. It's really hard to see, you know, things, you know, with big name movie stars for an independent film like this to stand out. So we need every advantage that we can get in order to sort of get eyeballs on the film. So it'll be coming out on digital August 21st, and then it'll be coming out on DVD on October 23rd, and the DVD actually is going to have a slightly different name because some of the buyers didn't like the name The Selling. So it's going to be The Selling of Scary Manor. My character's last name is Richard Scary. Like,
yeah, I was going to comment on that, and that's funny.
Yeah, so it'll have the same artwork. It'll look the same, but it'll have a slightly different name. So,
okay.
Which is to confuse people, just to make it
No, see, all that's going to do is 30 years from now, when this has become some cult hit and people are trying to find the original copies on eBay for $1,500, then, you know, the one that that has that slightly different name will just be worth a lot more. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, they'll be worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely.
Right. So make everyone's playing them on their antique DVD players.
Correct.
What's a DVD player?
Exactly.
We won't know by then. So, Gabe, let me ask you, the time limits. Right now there's 14 days while we're recording left. If you don't, can you extend that if you choose to?
No, that's one of the things that we can't alter. We can't alter our goal, which is $25,000, and we cannot alter the time limit that we set. However, you know, we did some homework before doing this, and most Kickstarters that go beyond 30 days have they don't get much of a benefit from it. They just end up having a long lag time in the middle of their campaign.
Okay.
Because there's usually sort of some attention at the beginning from all your friends and family, and then everyone sort of forgets about it, and then everyone's like, oh, all right, it's almost there. I guess I should finally go online and do that thing at the end. So There doesn't seem to be a huge correlation with a longer time, fundraising time, and actually making your goal. That's just from the research that we did.
That's really interesting to hear, Gabe, because we're part of this fundraising event called Extra Life, and it's basically video gamers getting together to raise money for Children's Miracle Network. And something kind of similar happens in that, where at the beginning we get a lot of donations, and then there's kind of this large sag time where not a whole lot goes on, but then when it gets back to the end again, people, you know, hurriedly throw money at the con.
Right.
The hurry up and wait concept.
Yeah. We're in the middle of our sag. Right. So we're a little over halfway, and we're not quite at 50% yet. So yeah. We feel a little behind sort of the clock. So we're hoping it picks up towards the end. So if you're listening and you are interested, please don't wait to the end, because think of our poor blood pressure.
Well, I think the movie's worth buying anyway, so if you're going to do that, then you may as well pledge to this portion of it, and that way you'll get to watch the movie and help somebody out.
Exactly.
So I have a question, and obviously it's too late for you to change this, but the money you're trying to raise is to have a theatrical release at, was it 4 or 5 different theaters that I was reading?
The way that we're trying to do are San Francisco, Los Angeles, one of the co-producers' hometown of Chico, California, and a town near the director's hometown called Marysville, California.
Okay.
We're also looking at a couple others. The director has some family in Virginia, so we're looking at a theater there. And we're trying to go where we have at least some some roots to try to help us get people together.
Of course.
But we're always open to more. If you know of a good theater in your hometown that might be interesting.
Hey, we have a theater here in Shoto that I kid you not is like straight out of the 50s. It's even got the old like huge neon sign with that 50s font, and it costs like $1 to go to. It's really awesome. But, you know, obviously there's not a whole lot of population around here. But my question was, if you couldn't get the full 25,000, say you got 20,000, that would still be enough to do releases in, say, 3 of those 4 theaters, wouldn't it? But that's not something that Kickstarter would allow you to do, because your pledge was, or your initial goal was 25,000.
Right. If we don't make the goal, we don't get any of the money. So we're putting all of our eggs in the basket.
Yeah, you're shooting for the going big. All right. Well, best of luck, obviously.
Thank you.
I know Jeremy wanted to ask you about some. You have some fairly big names in the selling. I mean, there's yourself, obviously.
I'm huge.
Titan of the world.
Yeah.
But then you also have Barry Bostwick, who is probably most famous from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's right. And Spin City, if people watch that show in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yep, Spin City.
Man, wasn't that long ago? Oh, my gosh. I'm old.
It didn't. It surprised me when I looked at the page.
But you also have Janet Varney. Am I saying? I'm probably not saying that right. But she's probably really well known to our listeners as being Korra from The Legend of Korra.
That's correct. Yes, and you said her name perfectly, Janet Varney. She is the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra, and she's a great friend. We knew each other in San Francisco. We were in a sketch comedy group together called Totally False People. She's also the founder of the San Francisco Sketch Comedy Festival, and she was on TBS's Dinner and a Movie, and she's got a resume a mile long. She's been on just about everything. She's been on Entourage and a bunch of stuff. She's just great. She's really funny, and she's really talented. She's a great actress, and I'm just so excited that she had the time in her schedule to come do it, and she's been really
supportive home.
That's excellent. Yeah, our listeners are big Avatar and Korra fans, so they'll be really happy to hear that little bit about her.
Yeah, because our listeners are nerds.
If they have any core questions, they can just tweet me, and I'll ask them.
you might regret that.
we'll include your Twitter on when we post it up.
Oh, great!
Yeah. Well, do you have any interesting stories from filming The Selling that you'd like to share?
Let's see. Any interesting stories that are fit to print? Just be careful if you're making a movie to get everything in writing. Sometimes people aren't as nice as you are and try to do bad things. But we had a really great time. It was a really short. It was 16 days, 2 days off. So we had 14 shoot days. And first night before shooting, Etta Devine, my someday wife, who's in the movie as well and produced it, with me, she and I both got food poisoning before starting to shoot our low budget movie that was on a shoestring that we couldn't afford to be sick on. She thankfully wasn't on screen the first day, but I was wise enough to put myself in about 90% of the movie, and so I was on set and would do a scene and then run to the bathroom and run back in and do another take. And we were doing color correction towards the end of the post-production process, and the colorist was saying, God, you've got this green tint to your skin in this scene, and I can't figure out why. And that's why. So if I look a little peaked in some of the movie, you'll know why.
Well, it would fit perfectly with the theme of your movie, right? I mean, you're selling a haunted house, not feeling all well.
Yes, just getting into character.
Exactly. We should have used some of the real footage.
I hope he didn't go back to that same restaurant anytime soon.
It was probably over a year, and I don't understand what it was because we're vegetarians, so it wasn't like it could have been some. I don't know what it was.
And so you said this film is 6 years in the making.
So yes,
did you film this 6 years ago?
No, we didn't. We about 6 years ago, it's probably closer to six and a half now. Oof, time flies. The director, I went to college with her, Emily Liu, and she got in contact with me and said that she wanted to direct a movie and wanted me to write and star in it because we had worked together in college. She had written some plays that she directed, and she directed me as an actor. And, I was in Los Angeles and had absolutely nothing going on, so it sounded great. So over the course of about 3 years, I worked on the script, and it was sort of off and on, because we didn't have any money to make the movie anyway, so there was no real hurry. So I would do a play, and then I would, work on the script for a while. And so after about 3 years, the script was finally in the place where we felt like it was ready, and we wanted to make sure that it was ready because a lot of people will rush into making a movie because they just want to make a movie, and they'll sort of, we'll sort out the script problems in the editing room, or, it's good enough or whatever. And then they get finished, and then they have a real hard time. It's hard enough with a good movie to get it seen, with that. So you want to give yourself as strong of a base as possible. So anyways, after we finally got the script ready, and then we shot it. So we shot in 2009, and then we were in post-production heck for a while. It took a little over a year to get it sort of, it was probably more like a year and a half. It took a while, the editing process, and we had a couple of bumps on the road. And so it premiered in 2011 at the San Francisco International Film Festival. And we've been playing the past, it's been maybe 14 months, 16 months. We've been doing the festival circuit. We've done about 27 festivals. Been lucky enough to get a couple of good reviews and win a couple of awards. And we shot in 2009. Finally, in 2012, it is finally going to be coming out into the world where people can see it, buy it, own it, and hopefully enjoy it.
Yeah,
labor of love.
Indeed.
Into the next one won't take this long, but so we'll see. Maybe I'll be talking to you in another 6 years.
So what would be a more ideal turnaround for a movie? Even like, you know, like an independent movie like you're making, how long do they generally take? I mean, what's the average, I guess?
I think you would find yourself working on a film for, it depends. It really depends. It'll move a lot quicker if you get into Sundance and it gets picked up by Fox Searchlight and it's out in theaters a couple months later.
Sure.
Generally give yourself about a couple months to write the script. If you've got some practice at writing scripts, we're getting a little bit better at it now. From shooting it, to post-production, give yourself a year, 6 months to a year to get the movie into shape. And then you'll have a bunch of, film festival rejections to wade through, which will all the rejections come in. And then you'll finally get into a festival. And then after you get into that one, it'll start getting easier because someone has shown, faith in your work. And so then you start getting screening requests. And then you'll probably do the festival for about a year and, a year to 18 months is sort of about the normal for a film. And then if you're lucky enough to get some kind of distribution, that'll usually happen somewhere along that timeline.
So now, did you apply
to Sundance?
And then
just out of that house. Yes. Yeah. We applied to. If there are any burgeoning filmmakers out there, you have to be careful with a feature film with your premiere. Because once you premiered somewhere, the other festivals don't want you. So if you premiere at your hometown film festival, then you apply to Sundance, they're not going to want your film. So so you have to be strategic about it. You have to hit Sundance, South by Southwest, all those ones that are sort of in the top 10 that that your grandma knows about, that knows the name of that festival.
Sure.
You want to hit those first and, hopefully you'll get into one of those. If not, then you start going to the second tier film festivals and down the line until you find where you're going to premiere. And after that, you can go anywhere you want and do well and have a good time. And so actually a lot of the smaller film festivals have been the most fun. We've met the most, passionate people about film and met such great people and had such great interactions with audience members. So, and we've also had a good luck with, sort of on in the genre film festival, market, because our film is a little unique in that it's, for an independent film, it's pretty much a mainstream comedy with a genre bent to it. So you don't really get a lot of that in the traditional film festival world. So we've been doing a lot of genre film festivals, comedy film festivals, horror film festivals, and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So give yourself 3 years for your independent film.
Wow.
If you're lucky.
Well, that's not unlike game development. Game development takes a long time. So
yes.
Yeah. And you could be working on your next project while you're doing all that. Once you get it shot and edited and stuff, you can be writing other scripts. And
that sounds like a great segue. So does that mean that perhaps there's another project in the works?
There are a couple of projects in the works. Yeah, we've got two web series that we've written, and we've got two feature films that we've written, and.
Oh, wow.
Working on, so we've got a backlog, or we're ready to go.
well, I'll tell you what, if you need any talent as far as on screen and acting, I'm glad to lend my services. I can work fairly cheap. I could be. What's acting? Show up, you say a few lines, and go home, right? No, I'm just joking.
Exactly.
I've been called a character quite a few times, so I suppose that could be acting.
So you can just call yourself a character actor.
That's right.
Awesome.
No, I'm not an actor. I think I would panic in front of a camera.
He'd make a pretty good on-set chef, though.
I would. If you need a caterer, feel free to give me a call.
Boy, do we.
No food poisoning on my end. I've never had that.
That's the hardest thing. Oh, no.
that's one of the things, especially when you have a low budget, is having really good food that keeps everyone happy. You know, because if everyone's not getting paid a whole lot, and not everyone was getting paid a whole lot, everyone was really, this was sort of a passion project for people. They really loved the script, and, you know, there was a great vibe on set. But you got to keep people fed well, and you got to keep them happy. And so that's a very important job.
It is.
And,
it's tough.
Do you want it? You can come do it. Are you a chef?
I am.
That's awesome.
That's my favorite thing to do, actually, is cater. And I can't honestly say I've ever done a movie, so that would be a fun and unique challenge.
Fantastic. Maybe we can come shoot in your hometown, and you can do the catering.
Tell you what, there's lots of awesome scenery around here. You could probably, unless you need, like, a big city venue, there's not much you can't find in my area as far as backgrounds.
Very cool. Does it look like maybe a period picture?
What's that?
Like in a different time period, maybe?
It does at times. I mean, there's times where it'll almost look Old West. Driving downtown, like I said, if you shot selectively in the town I live in, you could easily make it look like a town from the 60s. The old, the grocery store and the movie theater and the gas station and the drugstore all have those same signs from the 50s and 60s. It's pretty neat.
That's awesome. What are you going to do on the movie, Jack? He's cooking.
Well, I'd probably be the guy holding the cue cards or the sound mic, or I'd probably just do best just watching it.
Jack's a very talented writer. I don't know if writing scripts is different than writing, normal, but Jack's a very talented writer.
No, I work at the Game Informer magazine, so.
Oh, great.
Yeah. If you ever need someone to write something, I guess I can.
When one of your projects gets real big and there's the inevitable video game adaptation, that's when Jack can come in handy for you.
Right. I'll write the video game adaptation of your films.
That's awesome. We actually would love to, we're getting an age where people can, with Kickstarter and stuff, you can do all these things. So if you can create a phone game or an actual, video game, that'd be great.
It's very cool. So, is there anything else that you want to make sure that we know about your film or any of your other projects before we, you're welcome to stay longer if you want, but I don't want to take up any too much of your time.
This has been great. You guys are so nice to have, and I've had such a great time. If people are interested and want to learn more, they can go to Kickstarter.com, and there's a little search bar. You just type in The Selling, and our project will come up. They can like us on Facebook if they want, Facebook.com/The Selling. Follow us on Twitter, @The Selling. We have our personal website, DianiandDivine.com. Our book is for sale on there. Or they can just go to Amazon if they're more comfortable with Amazon. And actually, we're trying to get rid of our Amazon stock because, we're losing money on all the money we're paying them for storage for the book. So, go ahead and buy it on Amazon. I mean,
please.
Bundle it with something and get some free shipping and you can help us to get rid of Amazon.
Okay. Well, I was actually going to look at the book, so I'll be sure to do that at Amazon.
Awesome. Cool.
That's funny. I'm a huge fan of Twain and all those books. So it was interesting to hear you talk about how that was really meant to be a joke and it kind of turned around. So I think that's honestly a hilarious story.
It was quite a time. It was a lot of fun, and I'm a huge Twain fan, and it was really a true labor of love, and super proud of it, especially, it just looks gorgeous. So I'll just say that unabashedly because someone else designed it. We hired a designer to design it, our friend Lee Thompson, and the pictures are just gorgeous. Etta's mom, Denise, did a fantastic job, and I'm just so proud of everyone. And one of the things that no one can really pinpoint what a producer does, whether a producer of a book or a producer of a movie, they're kind of the person that just sort of, organizes everything and makes everything happen, but they don't always do all the creative work. So I'm really proud of that project as like a parent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure. Are there any robot gym action figures left in stock?
Yeah, there are, actually. You can get those on our website, DeAnnaDevine.com. There's a couple of Robot Jims left. And also on the creator of Robot Jim, he's got some as well. There's only a limited number of them made. I don't know how many of them are left, but could be collector's items someday.
Oh, my goodness. You just made his night, Gabe.
They're sculptures. I wouldn't call them action figures. You wouldn't want to play with them too hard.
Yeah.
You're just selling them harder.
Oh yeah.
I'm kind
the
of
more
a
more fragile, the better.
Well, no, I'm into sculptures and statues and media art and that sort of stuff. I have tons of that stuff.
Well, cool. Go to the website and take a look at the pictures. It's really cool what he did. Chad Meserve is actually the editor of the Selling and all projects. And he designed Robot Jim, and he plays with plaster and stuff, and he created this robot sculpture that Denise then used as her model. And we put it on Kickstarter, and not expecting the response that we got, I think it was like a $50 level, which was like literally he was being paid like a dollar an hour, a penny an hour maybe to make all these robots. He made like over 150, and it took – there's a video, I believe it's, where is it? It's if you look at the Huck Finn Kickstarter page and the updates, there's a video of him building a robot gym, and it's like in fast motion, and it takes a really long time. But he did everything by hand, and all these different pieces that had to be glued together for the hands and the legs. And
that's awesome. So each one is hand sculpted.
Yeah. So,
nice. Yeah, I'm checking it out now.
I'm proud of it. You did a great job. They're really gorgeous. I've got one sitting on my mantle here that I'm looking at.
Very cool. I like custom art like that. A couple of years ago, I bumped into a guy online. I don't even remember his name. And he did a lot of small custom ships that he made out of metal. And I had him do a couple of the ships from the Final Fantasy game series. And those are two of my favorite pieces. They're not big. They're pretty tiny, but they're so detailed and they're so awesome and they're, one of a kind. So you got to love that.
That's awesome. Well, go to my friend's website, dayoftherobot.com, Chad Meserve, and he's got, he does all of these sort of one of a kind robots. He does robots with, he did one of Etta and I. That's us as robots in a post-apocalyptic sort of setting. And he said, do you guys know what the Nerdist is?
Oh, yeah. Chris Hardwick?
He did one for Chris, he's wearing like a Nerdist tie, and he's got like the Nerdist logo, and he's eating a burrito. And he just does all these great things. Go check it out, dayoftherobot.com.
Yeah, he's got a retro jetpack robot. Regretsy bot, Da Vinci glider bot. Yeah, cool.
he does a really great nativity scene around the holiday right now, but it's a robot nativity scene, and it plugs in and lights up, and it's delightful. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool. Excellent.
Very good.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Gabe. We love
thanks
having
you. Thanks for having me, guys. I hope I didn't talk your ears off too much.
No. Jeremy usually does that.
Yeah, it's usually my job, so it's nice. For once, I won't be accused of doing that, so it's nice.
Wonderful. The thing about Kickstarter is trying to get the word out, and we really appreciate you having us on so that we can try to get the word out. We appreciate it. We'll be in touch soon.
All right, take care, Gabe.
Have a good night. Take care.
You thanks too, for being on.
So Jack and I had a great time talking with Gabe. It was pretty cool learning all that fun stuff about Kickstarter. We hope that you enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, he seemed like a nice guy. I liked him.
Yeah, and anybody that knows Korra has got to be pretty dang cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know she did a lot of comedy stuff, so that's
that's cool. I kind of wanted to learn more about how she ended up with that role, but I thought it'd be disrespectful to, enough about your stuff. Tell me how she went from, being on TBS to voice acting if she's truly, you know what I mean? So I thought that would be kind of a rude way to approach that, so I didn't. But if you go through and watch that trailer and close your eyes, you can totally tell it's her. It's pretty funny. Jack.
Yes?
Are you ready?
I'm always ready, Jeremy.
We have our end of the month very special edition of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show. Shout outs. We have lots of people to shout out this week. Just on the 31 and 31 challenges alone, Jack.
Indeed.
We have Chris McVicka, right?
Good job, Chris.
We have Jolt.
Fantastic job, Jolt.
LaHannibal.
Good job, sir.
And we also have Bender Strike.
Well done.
Now, if I'm missing anybody, I sincerely apologize, but this has been the most fruitful month for 31s, for the 30 and 30/30 and 31 that we've seen yet. So, great job.
Yeah, I honestly can't believe we had four of them in the same month. That's really incredible.
Yes, and I don't know, I know that there's been a few people for August kind of step up and say they're going to do it, so who knows when this madness will end.
Including the originator himself.
Yes, he's
Blackheart.
Back.
He's back, and he is going to do another 31-31, or 30-30, or whatever it is, however many days are in August.
There's 31. July and August are the only 2 months back-to-back that have... that have 31 days.
There we go.
Yeah. So are there any other blogs that stood out to you?
I really enjoyed Cody Bauman's interview with Rental Floss.
Okay.
Called What If This Interview... ... had Rental Floss. And he actually sits down and interviews Brent Rental Floss Black, which some of you may recognize from his album of video game music that he gave lyrics to called What If This Had Lyrics?
Okay.
And it is pretty fantastic. If you haven't heard it, go look it up. It deserves your attention. It's great.
Excellent.
Also, if you're young, it has foul language, so probably shouldn't listen to it.
Safe for work.
Comfortable with it.
Okay.
Some of them are safe for work, but others drop a few F-bombs, so just be aware of that. So
it's kind of like the Indian Mojo Show. Most of the time it's safe until you're counting on it, and then all of a sudden, bam, there it is.
Yeah, especially if Tog Nick comes on your show. I just said his name wrong.
It's T-O-G Nick.
Yeah, T-O-G Nick. Yeah. Well, now he'll have something to let loose about next time he's on the show.
This is true. So, Jack, anything else? Any other pressing things that you want to mention?
Nothing terribly pressing. I'm going to be participating in a D&D-like game called Exalted in the coming weeks. So that will be pretty interesting for me. I've had very limited experience with games like that, and I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. That'll be fun. I wish I had more opportunities to do that kind of stuff. But, oh well. I don't. But that's just the way things go. So anyway, this has been a very interesting and special episode of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show, episode 43. It's been fun. It's been real. We really appreciate Gabe spending his time with us. We miss Daniel, and we're hoping that he had a good time and that he drives safe in New York. And that he'll be back sometime soon. And until then, you stay classy, Game Informer.
Thanks for stopping by.
I like not knowing that I'm supposed to say I like.
How do we end the show without him?
Oh my gosh. We gotta scrap it.
Well, let's just end the show.
I like damp. I like camp. All right, that's a wrap.
Did you say I like damp?
Damp. It rhymes with lamp.
Have you seen that movie yet, Jeremy?
I have not.
Oh my goodness, you're gonna know the entire thing just by listening.
I probably would have watched it by now, but now I'm just not watching it. I threw a wish in the well, don't ask me, I'll never tell. I looked to you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I trade my soul for a wish, pennies and dimes for a kiss. I wasn't looking for this, but now you're in my way. Your stare was holding, ripped jeans, skin was showing.
Took your time with the call.